Have found 3 John, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading Father's Holy Word. We're going to read the whole book this morning. I know, the whole book. Preacher, you can't do that. But we're going to do it anyways. We'll get through it somehow. 3 John says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." During these verses here, the Apostle John lists 3 men: Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Each one of them, as John is writing here, has a testimony that John is giving about them. And we'd like to bring our sermon this morning on this thought: I've got a testimony. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I want to thank you for getting to see so many out here this morning. With that weather out there, yeah, they had every excuse to stay home. But Lord, they came out here. And I want to ask you, Father, please, to give them an extra special blessing for that. As it blesses my heart to see that they came out here, that they made that effort to make the drive. And I'm thankful, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for victory here. And I pray, Lord, that you bless them mightily. And I pray, Father, that you give them the wisdom and the direction in which they should go, Father. Help them, Lord, to be obedient to you. And thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to present the sermon the way you'd have me to, that it would be a help to your people and a light to the lost. And if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would see their need to be saved today before it's everlasting too late. Thank you, God, for being so good. Thank you for answering all the prayer requests, Lord. We know that you heard them before we even made them. And sometimes you're going to say no to us, sometimes you're going to say yes. But you've got an answer for us, and we're thankful. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So I've got a testimony. As we said, we see that John here, he's writing to Gaius. Now, safe to say that John knows what he's talking about. And if I mess up during the course of the sermon and I call him John the Baptist, please forgive me. Do not stone me. All right? It is John the Beloved. I know. You got to remember you're dealing with someone who's not all that bright upstairs, okay? But John here is writing to this man here. And he says, "Look, I want to tell you a little bit of something about what I've seen. I want to tell you about some things that I've experienced from this group that's here at your local assembly. Between you, Gaius, between Diotrephes, and between Demetrius. You've got a testimony, and it has gotten out to this world. And church, I want you to know that here at Victory, that you all also have a testimony. It may be one that is growing. It may be one that's already large. It may be a good testimony. It may be a bad testimony. But yes, you have a testimony. The very fact that you are here this morning, as we said, not all that pleasant outside. You made the effort. And that's something that God wants to see. He wants to see us trying and trying to put forth some effort to gather together. And that's part of a good testimony that you came out here today. We see here three men. Three men. One of them, not very good. Not good at all. But he's in the church. We see two men here who are pretty good. And they are in the church. You're going to have individuals here at Victory and at other churches. You're going to find them all over. If you find a perfect church, do not join it because you will ruin that perfect church. But you're going to find individuals, they're going to kind of rub you the wrong way. And you're going to find individuals, man, they just want to love on you because they've got the love of Jesus flowing through their veins. Gaius, I believe, was one of those people. Gaius is what we would call a support beam. Gaius is a man who you could trust to lean upon. Now, this pulpit, by example, is kind of stable. It's got a nice wide base here. And I suppose I could lean on it. But I can only go so far because it's not bolted down. It looks the part. It acts the part. But it ain't the part. Whereas I can go over to one of these beautiful beams. I love seeing these wooden beams in here. And I love that ceiling. I can take and I can push across this support beam. All I want, all I'm going to do is wear myself out. It ain't going to move. It's rock solid. It is stable. It is something that you can depend upon here. And Gaius is an individual who we can depend upon here. And this church that they were at here, they could depend upon Gaius to get the job done. As a matter of fact, he is described as being well beloved. Now, beloved, you know, there's something special about you. I know you. Jimmy, I've known Jimmy for years. You know, he's beloved. But at the same time, I can look back there at my wife and say she's well beloved. There's something more there. And Gaius, there's something more there to him, to the Apostle John, than what would be on the outside just looking in. And when you get in there and you start to look and you start to see what's going on, and I'm so thankful you all got those beams there because it makes it so much easier to do this today. I'd forgotten about them. Because without those beams there, all we would see would be the white walls. And we wouldn't be able to look at what's underneath that drywall. We wouldn't be able to see what's on the inside. But we've got something on the outside that makes it so that we can see. We see here on the outside what is there on the inside. What's in Gaius' heart here? The apostle writes and he sees here in verse number 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." His soul was prospering because it was well fed by God's holy word. This was a man who got into God's word there, Brother Mike, and he says, "I want to know more about my Lord. I am not content with just sitting here listening to the preacher. I want to go and dig into that word there and see for myself what's going on." Because if we just trust man to get the job done, we're going to fall short. We're not going to have the full support we need, and we're going to be rocking back and forth. You can ask my wife. She was raised Catholic. She knew the highlights of the highlights of the highlights of the Bible. Because man was teaching what man wanted to and nothing else. But when you get into God's Word for yourself and you start to read there and you start attending the Sunday school and you start attending the church as often as you possibly can, you've got a special meeting coming up and you show up for that meeting. You've got a revival coming up and you show up for that meeting. You're getting your soul well fed and it is going to prosper. And you're going to see the Lord begin to prosper you when what's on the inside becomes solid. We see here in verse number 3, he says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." I was thinking about that word "in." Even as thou walkest in the truth. I don't know the address of the church here. I'm sorry. I didn't look it up. But you know what? I have found that when I came back here today, The church was still here. Fascinating, ain't it? And when I was here a couple months ago, the church was still in the same location. And a couple weeks before that, the church was still in the same location. What are you getting at, preacher? This is a fixed position. When thou walkest in the truth. That word in, as it's used here by the Apostle John, denotes a fixed position. Thou walkest in the truth. Not just that thou walkest. I can walk. Do you know what? If I were to turn my right foot right now outward and try walking that way, what I'm going to be walking in is a whole lot of pain because of that bone that they cut out there. It's going to hurt. I can do it, but it's not going to benefit me. Just like Gaius was walking in the truth, it benefited him because he's walking in the truth. He's got a place that he can go to. He's got his Bible, and he can go to it, and he can trust it, and he can read it, and he can see exactly what God's got for him there. And when you come here to Victory, you should be able to trust that the preacher is telling you the truth. But I want you to know something, church. Don't trust everything that the man up there tells you. Take some notes, go home, and study it out for yourself, and make sure that we are telling you the truth. Because that's how you are going to walk in the truth yourselves.
That's right.
By double checking and making sure about us. We're human. We're fallible. I make mistakes, but don't tell her. She already knows. His soul's prospering. He's a support beam. You know what? If you take that beam there and you keep it well preserved, you don't let no termites get to it. You don't let no water damage get to it. You don't let fire get to it. That beam's going to stand there for an awfully long time. But let fire get to it. Let some termites get in there. Let water get a hold of it. And you're going to find it beginning to rot. It's no longer going to be prospering. It's no longer going to be able to support. It's going to eventually cave and give way. And you're going to have a lot of damage there. But prospered by taking care of it. And you're going to see it last. The same goes for our souls. The same goes for our Christian walk, our Christian lives, everything about us in Christ Jesus. The more time we spend with God Almighty, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend in study of His Word, the more time we spend reading His Word, and yes, those are two different things, the more we're going to be prospering. And yes, you're going to have hard times in this life. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. I'm not going to tell you it's a bed of roses out there. Anyone telling you that is not telling you about the thorns you're going to find in that bed. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have heartaches. But if you've got Jesus, you've got a solid support that you can go and lean on. You know what? I wouldn't sit in this chair if I couldn't trust that it would support me. 200 and some odd pounds. But you know what? It's supporting me just fine. No matter what goes on out here, no matter what pain I'm going through, no matter what sorrow I'm going through, problems at work, problems in my marriage, problems at home, problems in the family, finances are shot, whatever the case is, we can always trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why I said here, even as thou walkest in the truth, He is prospering. But not only is He prospering, but He's treats everyone the same. Verse number 5, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers. Now, I don't know if y'all saw there on Facebook this past week, Unsheltered International was down there in New Orleans. And Billy Sampson, for those of you who don't know, no relations to me. And he's thankful to God every time he hears that. But Billy was down there and he was witnessing to this guy, to this homeless guy. The guy who had on no shoes. Billy just bought a brand new pair of shoes last weekend. Had them on. The guy's got no shoes. Billy didn't just come over there and say, hey, you know, Jesus loves you, buddy, and I hope everything works out for you. Hey, let me tell you how Jesus can save your soul from eternity in hell. Billy did that, but he also took those shoes off, and I'm not going to do it to you. So he took the shoes off, brand new pair of shoes, and he gave it to that guy who needed them. Billy had other shoes.
that guy had a knee. Billy said, I can support you with a single pair of shoes. You all taken up for blankets and whatnot for that place over there in Wheaton. You'll forgive me, the name skips my mind at the moment.
Trying to be a support. Trying to be a help, church. It's part of a godly testimony. A support beam that others can depend upon. He also says here, verse number 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. I'm reminded over there in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 41, the Bible says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. A couple weeks ago, there was a missionary out in South Dakota. And I never can pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to bother. But his first name is Eric. And he put on Facebook, I know that wicked evil Facebook, but he put on Facebook about how they're the Lakota Indians. They're really eating up God's Word. They're enjoying the preaching. But they need Bibles. Problem is, a lot of them have bad eyesight. Now, he could have gotten on Facebook and requested, hey, can you send us some reading glasses to make it easier for the Lakota Indians to read their Bibles? It would have been cheaper for me to pick up reading glasses for a couple bucks, a family dollar. Send them out there. Hey, no problem. Here's 100 of them. No big deal. He says, what we need are large print Bibles. So they can read it for themselves. He went a little further on their behalf, church. Are we going a little further on someone else's behalf? Are we letting other people know about Jesus? Are we turning around and saying, hey, we've got these prayer requests over here. Let's make them known. That's why we take up the prayer requests, because we're trying to go a little further with someone. We're trying to be a help to someone. Are we doing that this morning here, church? Because that's part of a support beam. That's part of a godly testimony. One that God would have us to have. Or are we settling with, I'll pray for you. I forgot. I was supposed to do something, wasn't I? I'm guilty of it. I've done it. Not proud of it, but I've done it. But Gaius went a little further. Are we willing to? Now, whether we realize it or not, we could end up being just like Diotrephes. And I'm sure, Brother Mike, that Diotrephes was a fella who would sit back there and say, I'm all right, it's everybody else who's wrong. And he probably had strong convictions that he was all right with what he was doing. But the Bible says here in verse number 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. In other words, he's fond of being first. He's ambitious. He wants the distinction. He loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Diotrephes was what we would call a stumbling block. He's that guy you come along there and you think everything's fine and he just all of a sudden trips you up. Where did that come from? Man, I can't believe that Miss Kester said that bad thing about me. How could she say that? But I'm not going to go and talk to her. Instead, what I'm going to do, I'm going to run over here.
Did you hear what Miss Kester said about me? Me? Of all people? Me? Can you believe that she would say that about me? And I know you wouldn't do that, Miss Kester, honest. But honestly, that's the sort of thing. He's got it. Alienate these people. He's got to make himself look good over here because he's got to be, number one, large and in charge. It's all about me. Well, don't you all feel blessed that I'm here today? Especially you don't even got a tie on. Look at this tie. See this tie? Look at it. You even got some right. That's how fancy my tie is. Why'd you touch my tie? Man, how dare you? Look. I have the firmest tie now. That's the sort of mindset. Even though he's not actually doing it. Well, bless your heart. I'm so glad to see you here today. How are you doing? Well, that's good to hear. It's good to hear. It's a sort of attitude. May not even be thinking about it. May not have a clue. But how's it making him feel? How's it making us feel? Now sometimes we just don't think. Especially me. I admit it, I am dumb. Okay? Y'all can say amen to that, that's fine. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we'll forget. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overlook you. My mind was going a million different places at the same time. But what it is, it's the start of a bad testimony that ends up being a stumbling block. I don't want to forget you.
Thank you.
Okay. But that's what he's doing. He's got to have the preeminence. It's all about him.
Or he's at least thinking somehow, some way. It's all about him here. It goes on to say in verse number 10, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us." That word prating means berating. In other words, he's scolding, he's rebuking, he's being abusive, he's vilifying. Oh, we can't have that guy here. That old coot, John, what was it? John the Apostle. He's in his 90s. This is a young man's game. We don't need his kind. You know all that John the Beloved does when he gets up to church nowadays is just get up there and say, "Love one another." That's it. There's nothing else. Why in the world are we going to waste our time with John the Beloved having him come here if that's all he's going to do is get up and say, "Love one another"? And by the way, that's what tradition says John did in the final years of his life. But he's got to make it all look bad because he's got to be good. Do we do that sometimes, church? Have we created a bad testimony for ourselves without even thinking about it? Is victory a church, a local assembly where people come and they feel loved, where they feel like they are wanted here, or they feel like, "Good night, how much longer till I can get out of here because this place is lousy"? There's a difference there. I like Brother Jimmy. He said there that y'all got some sort of luncheon going on afterward. If you weren't here last week, now you know about it. You're here. Come on, let's eat. Some churches would be like, "You know, this is for our church, and you know, we'll shake your hand so we can get going." I heard a testimony from Pastor Greg Locke. And he said one day he was out there getting the mail. And black fellow pulled up. Asked him, "Says, you all allow black people in your church?" Greg looked at him and says, "We allow everybody in our church." He says, "You've got no idea what I've been through. Me and my family have been searching all over for a church, and we keep coming up to them and they keep saying, 'You're not welcome here.'" Church, if someone's not welcome here, turn off the lights, shut the doors, go home, close up. You don't need to be coming here no more because Jesus died for everybody. Red, yellow, black, or white, green with purple polka dots, male, female, young, old, does not matter. Jesus gave his life for all of us so that we all could go to heaven and that none of us would have to die and go to hell where you were going to be spending all of eternity burning in a lake of fire, where you were never going to be able to find anything around you. You are falling for all of eternity in a place of outer darkness. The fire is so hot, it's burning up the light before it escapes there. The Bible says that worms crawl through the body, and you cannot get rid of them forever dying. And Jesus said, "I died so that you don't have to go to that place." But if we would deny anyone that knowledge, if we would deny anyone the chance to come and sit among us, we're no better than Diotrephes, and we don't deserve to be here.
Amen. That's right. Good preaching.
But Diotrephes is a stumbling block. He doesn't receive anyone, and anyone who's willing to offer help to those who are coming in need, He has them thrown out of the church. I'm going to get on a hobby horse here real quick, church. This ain't your church. It's God's. Amen. And when a pastor comes in, the pastor is responsible to God for how the church runs. Not a family. Well, we've been here since the building was started. Not an individual who sits here and says, well, I'm the oldest member here. You have to listen to me, and the preacher's got to listen to me. It don't work that way. God says that I'm putting an under-shepherd in there, and the under-shepherd's in charge. But that under-shepherd better be following God. Diotrephes, I do not believe, was following God, because he's too busy running people out so that he can be large and in charge. But I want you to know something here. We've got a good testimony and we've got a bad testimony here. But I love how we've got one more good testimony. I love how the good can outweigh the bad. I love how God will work things out in the end for us. I love how He knows what's going on and knows that we need the comfort, knows that we need the support, knows that we need the encouragement, knows that we need the extra strength to go on. So besides having Gaius, the support beam, He gives us Demetrius, the stalwart beacon. That word stalwart means strongly and stoutly built, sturdy, brave, valiant, steadfast, firm, or dare I say, uncompromising. I'm going to do the Lord's will, the Lord's way, the Lord's time, and with His blessing. Demetrius, verse number 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. He's got a good report both of man and of Jesus. You see, many commentators believe that when John is writing here and he uses the word truth, that he's also meaning Jesus. Which means we can take and change the word the truth into Jesus. Verse number 1, let's reread it that way. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in Jesus. Verse number 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of Jesus that is in thee, even as thou walkest in Jesus. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in Jesus. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, what a wonderful name. And Demetrius has a good report of Jesus. Verse number 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of Jesus himself. Now here's the thing. Demetrius is only mentioned in 3 John. That's it. Poof, gone. There's another Demetrius. He's listed over in Acts chapter number 19. A bad dude. We'll put it that way. I think that's in one of these other translations of the Bible. But that Demetrius, no good. But this Demetrius here, he's only listed here. You say, why is that important, preacher? Because number 1, it means his future is wide open. Whatever the Lord's going to have him do. Number 2, Brother Jimmy, you know what that means? He's got no past. He's got no past. When he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, all of his sins in the past were forgiven. And every time he comes and he asks Jesus to forgive him, the sin is forgiven. I like what one preacher said. When you get saved, it ain't like Jesus gets into a bulldozer and starts at your birth and just goes forward and clears it all out. No.
Jesus doesn't get in the bulldozer and start at the moment he got saved. He goes backward and clears it all out. No, he says he goes all the way to the end of your life on this earth and he clears out all the sin with that bulldozer. It's gone. To God, it's a mystery. He's cast the sins into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, gone. Actually, it'd be east from the west there. And when you look up there in Psalms and you see where it says the east is from the west, that east is talking about the rising sun and the west is talking about the setting sun. And it'll never be able to meet. It's impossible. You'll never be able to go so far west that you start going east. It's out of here. And Demetrius' past is in the past. I asked Brother Jimmy before church, is your name on your birth certificate Jimmy? Or is it James? He probably thought I was just making a polite conversation. I was trying to be nice to him, but you know. No, I was asking for this purpose. See, Jimmy is a form of James. I know, mind blown. Demetrius is equivalent to James. It is the name that would have been on a birth certificate. Brother Mike, over in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, we read about a man named Demas, who was with the Apostle Paul during his first Roman imprisonment. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we read about that same man named Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Demas quit. But I like what one commentator said. Demas is a form of Demetrius. Woo! He went to Thessalonica, and that's a whole other sermon right there, but if you were going to go to a church back then, you were going to go someplace and think you were going to hide, that was not the place to go to hide because they were on fire for God there. And it is possible that Demas, he got back over there to Thessalonica thinking he was just going to be able to hide. He was just going to be able to get away from it all. And instead, he found a church on fire for God. He found a church where God was feared, where God was worshipped, where God was loved, where God was active. And he found out that God was able to reach him even there. And even though he had forsaken the Apostle Paul while he was very present, facing Nero's chopping block, praise be to God, he got right. He was able to come down here to an old-fashioned wooden altar and confess his sins and get right for God. And so now, 30-some years later, John the Apostle writes about him and says, "Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of me." He got his life back on track. That's why he's the stalwart beacon. That's why he's the lighthouse there. As it stands upon the shore, though the waves crash against it, though the wind tries to knock it down, though the rain is driving, it still shines brightly, warning others. Letting others know this is the safe harbor. Stay away from there. This was a man who could come out and say, "I've been down that path. I've gotten away from God. And praise be to God. He allowed me to get back here on the right path. And I'm able to go forward for Him." You are not too far gone for God. There ain't a person out there in the world who's too far for God until you've drawn your last breath. Whether you need to be saved or you need to get right with God, you have been saved in the past. You can get right. And you know what the best part is? Praise God. You can never lose your salvation. The Bible talks about there in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. Ooh, I got it. Let me get these out real quick. John chapter number 10, verse, and not verse number 10, but 28 through 30. Jesus is talking about, I am in the Father's hands and you're in my hands. That word hand there has the idea of having a grasp. In other words, Jesus is in handcuffs to God the Father. So what about us, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we are in His hands. And we're handcuffed to Jesus once we're saved. You ain't getting out of those handcuffs. But He offers us triple security, because over there in Ephesians chapter number 1, we find that we have been sealed with the earnest of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's living inside of us. We're so stained, it's painful! We can't get away from it. It don't matter what you've done, church. It don't matter where you've gone, what you've seen, what you've said, what you've consumed. It don't matter if you are battling depression. It don't matter if you are battling anxiety. It don't matter if you're battling cancer. It don't matter if you're battling a past that is nasty, that is disgraceful, that would make a sailor blush with shame. It don't matter, because Jesus Christ still loves you. He died for your sins. He died so that you could be saved. And all you have to do is come and put your faith in Him. Say, preacher, I ain't got the faith to do it. You're right, you don't. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It ain't the grace that's the present. The gift is the faith. God will give you that faith to be saved. How do I get it, preacher? Put one foot in front of the other and put your faith and trust in Him and just ask Him to save you. Is it really that simple? Oh, yes. So preacher, I'm here physically, but mentally and spiritually, I'm away from God. Can He take me back? Yeah. Put one foot in front of the other. Come on down to this altar. And church, let me just tell you, as long as I'm here, that altar's always open. You may say, hey, you know what? I ain't got nothing to come and confess. I don't need to get anything right with God. We're good. You know what? Maybe you just would need to come down here and sit and have a little talk with Jesus and thank Him for what He's done for you. Guess what? The altar's always open for that too. Church, I've got a testimony. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've walked Demas's path. I got out of church for 10 years. I'd been called to preach. I was 15. By the time I was 19, I was out of church. 10 years later, I finally got back into church. Didn't even know if God would let me preach or not. I remember the preacher coming up to me one day and said, I need you to preach for me next Sunday. He was the first one to have me preach after I'd answered the call to preach. I said, preacher, I don't even know if the Lord would have me preach again. With all I've done, He turned and stuck His finger in my face and says, God does not repent of the gifts He gives. He loves you. And He wants you to have a good testimony. He doesn't want you to be a stumbling block, church. He wants you to be a support beam. He wants you to be a stalwart beacon for a lost and dying world. But it's up to you what you'll be. You will be one of those three. The choice is yours. I've got just two questions here. For we have a song of invitation. Number one, what do people say and think about you? So I don't know. Maybe it's time for a self-checkup to make sure that what they're going to say and think about you is right. My second question is, how do you honestly view yourself? Preacher, I'm messed up. I know the great physician who can fix you up. His name is Jesus. And it's not just empty words either. He's done it for me. I'll tell you this and we'll close. And if you bought my book on suicide, you may have read it. During those 10 years when I was out of God's will, I got really low one day. Really low. Had it all planned out. All I had to do was get home, open up the front door, and 20 feet to where my
safe was, get the gun out, and that was it. I'm out of God's will. Hadn't been in church in years. I couldn't tell you where my Bible was to save my life. But God stopped me. He can help you out of any situation you're in. He can love on you, even when things are great. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for that. But you got to come to Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. You brought, Lord, the sermon the way that you'd feel that you'd have us to do this morning. And I do pray, Father, for everyone here, that each and every one of us will find something here in the sermon that we can take and apply to our hearts and to our lives so that we can go forward for you. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your holy will. And maybe, like I said, someone would just like to come up here and say thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to do just that. Sometimes we just need the courage to take that first step, Father. And we need you to hold our hand to do it. But I'm thankful you will. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.